today on Real Radio.
Listen, I don't know what you're living for, but I hope it's got your attention. I hope it's worthy of you even dying for it. Is what you're standing behind, what you're excited about, eternal? Well, there's only one thing that's eternal. There's only one thing that's going to last forever that is good, and that is the gospel of God, the salvation that God provides for us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Defendable Faith, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 today. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who is truly holy by nature? The only way one can come to God is through his gospel of grace. As we begin Galatians chapter 2, the attacks against Paul and the gospel that he preached are under increasing pressure. The Jewish leaders accuse Paul of preaching a weak gospel that requires no pain and no effort. Now, these were the brethren that looked at the outward rituals to save them, while Paul argued for the internal change of the heart by the Holy Spirit. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul's desire was to preserve the pure and simple gospel of grace as revealed to him by Jesus Christ himself. For Paul believed Christ and his desire that all of mankind be saved, not by what we do, but by what we believe. And now in his lesson called A Defendable Faith, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
If you grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to the book of Galatians chapter 2. The book of Galatians chapter 2, we are in the first 10 verses. And I have to tell you up front, this is Paul the Apostle's passion, what he's going to be teaching us and instructing us in this morning. So much so that many of the scholars and of the commentaries that I looked into in looking at this portion of Scripture, they all agreed on this, that the construction of the Greek language, which the New Testament is in, here Paul uses Greek words and uses sentence construction that is completely unlike Paul at any other time. And you might say, well, Jack, how does that relate to me? It relates to you very well if you'll understand it maybe presented this way. You may pride yourself on being very, very refined and very, very much in control until your very passion is triggered. It could be, I don't know, it could be basketball, baseball, could be cooking, could be who knows what your thing is. But you can act pretty reserved and pretty much under control until somebody brings up your topic. And when your topic is brought up, you go crazy. You love it. And you get all crazy, animated, and whatever, and you go off because that's your thing. Same with Paul. We're going to see that happen with him this morning. He's going to be talking about his faith. He's going to be talking about the gospel that he preached. And he is in a scenario, in a situation that you and I have all been in, perhaps maybe in a different topic. But Paul's passion is so much so that the construction of the Greek makes the study of this word difficult because he inserts thoughts. While he's speaking, while he's authoring this book, he's going to put in thoughts that's in his head. And it's rather interesting and challenging. You'll see some of these things today. For example, we're going to come to a portion of Scripture where Paul is talking about what's going on at the Jerusalem Council. And all the big guys are there, like Peter and James and John and all of the others that are around there who are to be authorities. And Paul will say, you know, whoever these guys are, it makes no difference to me. He lets you in on a real passionate thought because his drive was to present the pure, unadulterated gospel. And he didn't care who was in the room or who was not in the room. I got news for you. If that little guy, well, we think Paul was little. You know that? According to church history, he was a little man. When I think of Paul, I think of Tasmanian devil guy, Taz, the Warner Brothers Taz. Paul was a little guy, skinny, bow-legged. He had a big hook nose, eyes that are real close together, according to church history, and he squinted all the time, and he was bald-headed, and he had crooked fingers. And when he spoke, he was so brainy. He had such a grasp on languages and cultures that F.F. Bruce in his book talks about how difficult it must have been to be around Paul. that most Christians couldn't stand to be in his presence because he was so constant for the gospel and for the world that people couldn't even handle him. And he was on the go. Paul believed that he had a lot of ground to cover before the Lord called him home. That's a good way to live. That's an exciting way to live. The title of the message this morning is A Defendable Faith. Not dependable. It is. Defendable. A faith that you can defend. Let me ask you before we get going, what are you living for? What are you living for? Let me ask you this. Is it worth dying for? Paul lived for a defendable faith. He knew that the faith that God had called him to do and the gospel that he embraced was not going to go away. Was no one going to be able to take it? Even these Judaizers that had come out of Jerusalem, were they going to steal the gospel truth? Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, the first 10 verses, there Paul says, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I also took Titus with me." Circle Titus. He's the star of the show. "And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." That was one of his inserted thoughts. "To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised, that is the Gentile world, predominantly 99% of us, had been committed to me, and as the gospel for the circumcised, that is the Jewish world, had been committed to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter, for the apostleship of the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles, that is the Holy Spirit he's making reference to. And when James, Cephas is Peter's name, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived that the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised," or the Jews. "They desiring only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which we were eager to do also." You hear Paul? Isn't he a little firecracker? I love him. Listen, I don't know what you're living for, but I hope it's got your attention. I hope it's worthy of you even dying for it. Is what you're standing behind, what you're excited about, eternal? Well, there's only one thing that's eternal. There's only one thing that's going to last forever that is good, and that is the gospel of God, the salvation that God provides for us. And you couldn't sway Paul from that at all. This guy was the Jew of Jews. He was the Hebrew of the Hebrews, says the scripture. He was circumcised on the eighth day concerning the law. He was blameless concerning all of the teachings of the rabbis and those of his contemporaries. He excelled in them all. He was the man. And Jesus Christ so converted Paul on that Damascus road that you would have thought that God is going to send Paul to go preach to Jews, right? So deep was the work of grace in Paul's life that God sent him to the Gentile world. God had another situation set up for the Jewish world. And that gospel would early on in the church be presented predominantly by Peter, though certainly by others. But listen, after a period of time, in the book of Acts, it's recorded that the nation of Israel turned their back on the gospel, and the early church went from a predominantly Jewish church to a Gentile church, of which it has been most for the last 2,000 years. But don't lose heart in God's dealing with the Jewish people. For the tribulation period teaches us that God will once again, for a period of 7 years, by the way, that is the whole reason for the 7-year tribulation period. Did you know that? It's to get Israel to look at the gospel again. I thought it was for fire and brimstone. No. I thought it was for all those plagues to be poured on the... No. It's to get Israel to look to God again. Think of that. It's God's last promised 7-year dealings with Israel based upon Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. A marvelous, marvelous thing to understand. But we are talking about a defendable faith. Number one, jot it down if you would. It is this. Our defendable faith that you and I adhere to is as it was back then when Paul preached. And it is this. It is for all people. Say, what? It's for all people. Say, golly, tell us something new. No, wait a minute. It's for everybody. And don't think for a moment that it is just so easily understood in our culture that the gospel is for everyone. It's often sheltered and shielded from religious works. They'll do it, or I should say by them. The world is going to hell right now, as people put it, in a hen basket, you know. That's a pretty tragic thought. What are we going to do about it? Give them the gospel. You guys, the church is to be, as it were, a gigantic life preserver that's throwing aid out to the world to get them to Christ. But the world outside these walls are thinking that the church has been built up to keep people out. About a year ago, I told Pastor Chuck, you know, we're growing. We don't have any more room. And we're turning people away from the door. He said, what? Man, I knew I was in trouble. And I think he forgot that we rented this old warehouse. And he said, knock out the walls. Tear out the walls. Well, if we tear out the walls, we'll be in the parking lot. Well, tear out the walls. Well, it's not our building. Well, you need your own building. Yeah, we need our own building. But you know what? There's one problem already with the new building that's being built. It's got walls on it. Can't put a roof without walls. But you know what? Let them be physical walls. The truth of the matter is you and I are to be instructed, encouraged, built up, and blessed in the Word of God, and to go outside of those walls and conquer the world for Christ. And what does that mean? To raise up a standard that would cause the world to not want to come to Jesus? That's the opposite. To open up a welcome mat and to show them the love of God that would cause people to want to know this Christ of the Bible. You guys, I'm convinced if the world saw a healthy biblical representation of the gospel, the world would flock to you or to that church or to that place. I have no doubt in my mind about that. The gospel is made to seize your heart and give you hope. It's for all people. But the early church thought, the early church, they were born again, Spirit-filled. They believed that it was a Gentile church. Isn't that weird? That's why God stirred up the diaspora, persecution, to send the church out of Jerusalem. They all sat around, what do we do now that we're saved? That's what they did. We're saved. We got Pentecost, Holy Spirit. Woo, this is cool. What do we do? Let's just wait for them to come back. And God says, this is not going to work. And so he sent persecution to Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, what happened? The church fled to the world seeking safety and shelter, and all the while, God using them as they were running, you know. They're handing out the gospel as they're going, and God says, now we're moving. That's what it's all about. The gospel's for everyone. It's for all of mankind. And this is hard for the early church to understand. Paul understood it very well. Look how much so. In verse 1, we learn here how the gospel is for everyone. We learn that the gospel produces changed lives, and I love it. Titus is the guy. He's fun. It says after 14 years, if you put Galatians chapter 1, the 3 years that Paul was in Arabia, plus this, you're talking 17 years. Paul had been converted for 17 years. That's amazing. And he's going to be going up to Jerusalem. Listen, it leads us to believe he didn't go to Jerusalem much, or maybe not at all, since his conversion. Barnabas is with him. Barnabas, he's the son of encouragement. Barnabas was a great guy to have around, especially if you're like a Paul. Seems like Paul could like pull out his tongue and run people over. You need a Barnabas to come behind you and patch it up. Barnabas. Then there's this guy by the name of Titus. Titus is wonderful. He's just like us in a way. He's a Gentile. He doesn't know anything about Jewish culture. He's uncircumcised, which is a big deal to them back then. We'll translate it into our modern day problem with circumcision today, not the physical act. So here's Titus. He's been a convert of Paul's. He's a preacher of the gospel. He's not Jewish. He's got the Holy Spirit in him. He's everything like you are now. And yet the Judaizers, the legalists, were saying, you can't be saved without first becoming a Jew. Hold your place here and go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, you can write it in your notes or make it a note in your margins. It's the account of what we're looking at. Acts 15, By the way, you'll understand the book of Galatians much better if you read the book of Acts. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea, that's from Jerusalem, and taught the brethren, here you go, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved. And I love what it says. Are you ready for this? Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension with them in dispute, you know what that means? They had a dog and cat fight. They determined, notice who the they are, those who came down from Judea. They think they're something. They're legalistic people. They're embracing Jesus Christ, but they're saying that you have to keep these rules of the church, these regulations, and the Ten Commandments, and all the commandments of God, and you must be circumcised. You've got to do it Moses' way, plus Jesus, and you get to heaven. So they say to Paul, come with us, come to Jerusalem. And so Paul is going to go with them, but not because they asked him to go. We're going to learn here in Galatians chapter 2 that Paul is only going to go for one reason. Are you ready? We're going to see it in a moment, because it was by revelation of God. God says, Paul, go. And so Paul goes. And here's how he goes. He's got Titus with him. Come here, Titus. You're coming with us. Why? Because you're a Gentile. Okay. You're saved. Yes. God's using you mightily. Okay. Oh, all right. You're not circumcised. Come on. What? Yeah, you're coming with me. Paul grabs Titus, a Gentile, uncircumcised, en route to Jerusalem. Have you ever seen in those programs, and I love these kind of shows, I think every guy does. You guys ever watch, like, Battle Bots and stuff like that? Oh. Anyway, okay. Have you ever seen those crash things where they put the little dummy in the car and they drive the car into the wall at 50 miles an hour, and then, you know, the little dummy's got sensors on it to see what part hurt? And they analyze all that stuff and they determine what the dummy experienced. Titus is Paul's crash dummy. Paul's got Titus. Titus is on his way to Jerusalem to a wall of legalism. And here goes Titus. And he's going to be running headlong straight into that thing. And he's going to come out with flying colors. Because here's the deal. Titus had been converted. He loved the Lord. And the legalists could not deny it. They're going to raise up every bit of standard on why he couldn't get to heaven. He first has got to be circumcised. He's got to keep the law of Moses. He's got to do all these things. And Paul says, no way. Not at all. Very important. And so Paul has taken him with him. The Bible tells us in verse 2 that it's by divine directive. God tells Paul, you go. By revelation, meaning, Paul, I'm speaking to you. This is the Lord. You go. What is God doing? Is he leading Paul right into a battle? Yeah, he is. But the battle has already been won by the Lord. Paul is standing in the truth of God. The war has already been determined. Jesus settled that at the cross. Now the battle is not only as it was then, it is for us now, and that is the battle over truth. Truth never changes. Truth is as God. Truth. You and I need to come to the truth. But having once embraced the truth, God is the one who ultimately defends truth. You and I get to be drafted into God's effort. The victory is promised to us because the truth is of God. Are you with me? When we go forward as Christians in this very pagan and horrible world, we're not going alone. Titus is not going alone. Paul is not going alone. Paul is filled with confidence, as is Titus, because they know in whom they have believed. They are sure about their faith, so much so that they can lead another person to Christ. Can you do that? Now, let me be you for a second, because we are alike. Well, I'm sure I could, but I'm scared to. Or here's another one. I don't want to look stupid. What if nobody listens? Well, we all look stupid anyway. The point is, if they listen or not, that's not the point. That's not the point. The point is that God is the one. It is his truth. And the truth of the matter is this. He's called us to present the truth. You and I get so caught up in the gospel presentation that if they don't accept Christ, we think we fail, don't we? Why do we think that? He didn't tell us to lead everyone to Christ. He told us to preach it to everyone. Salvation's of God. We're supposed to present it, and that person now is responsible for the decision. So don't take it so personal. You and I are only an envoy for the truth, an ambassador of the gospel. We're to present it, and God does the rest. So he's given Paul a directive. You're going to be going, and Paul is en route to go. Another thing that we notice in the latter end of verse 2 is that in this defendable gospel that we're considering, it's for all of mankind. One of the great things is that God in his gospel provides evidence where his gospel has been. A person who hears the gospel clearly, that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that he rose again 3 days later from the dead, and all those who put their trust in him shall be saved. Okay? The gospel always leaves evidence of where it's been. What do I mean? If the gospel's presented, some people will say yes, some people will say no. Some people will open their heart to the gospel, some people will harden themselves to it. Some people will receive it, some people will go against it and receive the stupidest things ever, once having rejected the gospel. I have seen educated, normal people who make fun and light of the gospel, walk away from it, and then get into the stupidest spiritual endeavors that you've ever heard of. How do they get there? You know anybody like that? How did they get there? Simple answer, they rejected the truth. And once a person holds firm against the rejection of the truth, they go after the most crazy things. The gospel has evidence. Paul says, I communicated to them that gospel, which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, those who had a name, those who were big in the church. Lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, I'm going to go. I'm going to recognize the authority, the powers that be. I'm going to go and I'm going to speak to them. But here's the deal. I am going to communicate to them that gospel. What gospel? The gospel he had always preached.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio in a message called A Defendable Faith. Thanks for listening. And our hope is that your identity and your salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. A Defendable Faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds, for we are justified through faith and not our works, should any of us boast. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, you know we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners. Thank you for your continued support, and if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do that at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and find out how you can financially support this ministry. Hey, did you know that if you've missed any episodes of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that we have you taken care of? There are so many ways to catch up. You can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet, or you can visit us on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Hey, here's a thought. Let's say you're in the doctor's office or you're waiting in your car for some reason. You've got a little bit of time to kill. Here's an idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. What a great way to spend a few minutes or a few hours. Check in with everything that is Real Radio on a daily basis. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app, or you can click through our website if you'd like. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. We'd love to have you join us as often as you can. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.